You're listening to What Were You Thinking with Eric McCoy and Morella McCoy, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, this is What Were You Thinking on LA Talk Radio. Thank you guys for tuning in again. This is my wife, my beautiful wife, Morella McCoy. Again, I'm
Eric McCoy.
Absolutely. One of the things that I was thinking about when, I was thinking about back when I was on drugs, when I was doing all that crazy stuff, you know, obviously I was doing things that was literally destroying my body, mind, soul, everything, you know, revolving around that. And the one thing that I seemed to have lost that I could not grasp that ended up turning out to be the probably the saving grace for me was
laughter.
Do you like to laugh?
Love to laugh. Like the good old song says, I love to laugh.
Ha, 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 ha. Loud and long and clear.
For those of you who know us, Mary Poppins is our favorite movie.
Yes. And we learned that on our first meeting that we ever had, and we talked about things, and she said, you know, we were like, well, what's your favorite movie? And she was like, I think I said it. I was
I asked Disney or regular, and then you said Disney, and I said Mary Poppins, and you were like, damn. What?
We were meant to be. Grateful Dead fan.
Mm-hmm.
Grateful Dead fan.
Mary Poppins, best movie.
Best movie made, best movie ever. So we wanted to actually talk about that. We wanted to talk about laughter. We wanted to talk about the ability for people to maybe start to learn to laugh at themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, when I was in college, I took this class from this amazing lady, Dr. Ellen Brandy, and we had to come up with a treatment modality that does not currently exist today. This is actually for you to get an A on the paper. You had to come up with something that was nothing related to anything in treatment. And so I actually did my entire presentation paper on laughter. And the whole thing revolved around laughter. And so if any of you guys know any of the history behind the concept of laughter being the best medicine, it's actually Norman Cousins, who was a journalist. And back in the 50s or 60s, I believe, he was diagnosed with a terminal illness. He decided to check himself out of the hospital. He checked into a hotel room. He had them bring, of course, this was back, I think it was in the 50s. They brought those old real movie projectors, and he watched Marx Brothers movies. And what he did was he forced himself to laugh so hard that his stomach hurt, right? And he was literally laughed himself well. The terminal illness went away. I believe it actually happened twice. He wrote books on this about laughter being the best medicine. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe it. And we were talking about this just briefly before we started this, that, you know, in my book, I bring up the concept that, you know, I found freedom when I was locked up in a jail.
Mm-hmm.
And that concept of freedom actually began with that. I was at the main jail in Santa Ana. I think I'd been in custody for 6 months. I was transferred over to Theo Lacy, if anybody knows the jails in Orange County. I had a seizure, ended up in the hospital, went back to the main jail. And so I think I had about maybe six and a half months sober in custody. And they transferred me back over to Theo Lacy.
Mm-hmm.
And during that transitionary period, I remember speaking with some guy, and we ended up getting in this conversation. And I started laughing, and I was laughing so hard that that was the freedom that really started for me.
Right.
Was this just uplifting feeling of laughing, and I hadn't laughed in years.
Right.
You know, my laughing on drug was,
yeah, like Beavis and Butthead kind of thing, right? It's not like a real laugh. Well, and when it comes to, I know for us women, right? We like to do a girls' night out. Like we like to just go out, have some dinner, just a glass of wine, whatever. Well, not everybody drinks wine, but you know, just hanging out with our girls. And the reason why, and I know when I hang out with my girlfriends, we're laughing until the restaurant closes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my closest, dearest friends to my heart, Rachel, her and I, when we get together, it's like we pick up where we left off and we're cracking up the whole time. We're talking about, you know, and we go home feeling so refreshed, right? Feeling like, oh, feels so good to just laugh and get away. But what we forget is our day to day, we have time to laugh. We don't have to wait for those those get-togethers with our girlfriends, or, you know, for something to be an awakening, right? There's so much stress in our lives, and just having to manage day-to-day work, home life, you know, manage, you know, take care of your friends, take care of everything. There's so much happening that you forget to take a moment and just laugh.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so we have some really great kind of ideas, right, to mm-hmm. to get you to kind of mentally force yourself to take a moment in your day and laugh.
Yeah, and I want to mention, so I did an episode on my podcast, High Wall Clean, and this was quite a while back, and I called it Let's Get High. And again, I am the big promoter of highness, keep getting high, let's do it clean. But I did this on this concept of let's get high, right? And mm-hmm. it was stemming from this concept. I think this is one of God's greatest gifts that he's given to us, mm-hmm. is this ability to laugh. And one of the things that it does...
It helps heal us.
And it boosts dopamine. It does exactly the same thing that we're looking at when we are doing drugs. Mm-hmm. We're looking for that boost of dopamine, that boost of pleasure. It does the same thing.
It does the same exact thing. In fact, for those folks that are trying to lose weight, statistics show you laugh hard for 1 minute. That's an equivalent to 6 to 10 minutes on a treadmill.
Yes.
So I've been on this weight loss journey for the last 2 years. So I'm going to start laughing a little bit more, taking that moment and laughing. Because mm-hmm. if that can take off 6 to 10 minutes off the treadmill for me, oh, I'm all about that.
Mm-hmm. And so I do want to mention that we are, towards the end of the show, we are going to do a big workout.
We're going to exercise for that 1 minute. So be prepared to laugh with us. Another good thing about laughter, right, is it's contagious.
It absolutely is.
That's right. I know there's times that Eric's cracking up about something that I don't think is too funny. And I start laughing just because he just cracks me up, you know. So we've got to remember that, you know, we got to take some moment for ourselves. And people are like, oh, just take some time off, spend some time. And, you know, some people can't do that. Mm-hmm. They can't take that time off. So when do you take that time to laugh? You don't need to take a whole time off. Take a minute. Close the door to your office. Close the door. Go in the bathroom and start
work out.
Up. Yeah,
and work
you're
out.
Working out. Right?
How many? Wait, one minute of laughing is equal to
6 to 10 minutes on the treadmill. So let's do it. Let's
minutes of laughter.
Yeah,
it's like 30
that's
minutes.
That's like 20 if you do your math right. Mm-hmm. But you know, calm down. To laugh for 5 minutes, you've got an hour. You've got an hour. Right. So, you know, it's mind-boggling that we don't take enough time. We take things so serious, and I'm saying we because I have been in it. Eric's been in it. I mean, mm-hmm. life stresses us out, mm-hmm. right? So we've got some ideas, mm-hmm. some, you know, for you to kind of go, hey, that's kind of a good idea. Or, you know, take it as you will. But remember to laugh and to enjoy life to the fullest as much as you can, because we're only given a certain amount of time anyway on this world. Yeah. So we might as well enjoy it. Don't wait to have to get together with family or friends to have that laugh.
Yeah, that's part of one of the issues with society today. I mean, everything seems to be so serious all the time. Everything's so, so serious. Mm-hmm. But we don't always have to be. I mean, there's times for seriousness. You know,
absolutely.
I teach clients that I work with, you know, it's like there's the times for serious, but there's times you got to have fun.
Right.
You've got to laugh. I used to take, and this was, you know, again, I'm a very thinking outside the box person. I ran a program in Temecula, and one of the things that I did and I decided to do was to actually take all of our clients to the comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
And this was something that, you know, would not be done by a lot of people. I felt it was appropriate because, again, the comedy clubs are typically nightclubs. And so you have to obviously
right,
make sure drink. They do have to order 2 drinks. So you make sure, obviously, they get the right drinks.
Right. Yeah.
But one of the greatest things in the world, laughing.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me, a little bit after my mom died, you took me out to a comedy club. And Eric and I have gone to comedy clubs forever. That's one of our things, right? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, COVID has kind of robbed us of that for right now. But we'll get back to that. But after the death of my mother, I remember it was probably a couple weeks after she had passed away. You said, we're going out. And he takes me to a comedy club. And I felt like this isn't right. Like, I'm in mourning. I'm not, you know, I'm not feeling up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the comedy club. and fortunately with somebody who was freaking hilarious, and I laughed and I enjoyed that hour of laughter to the point where my stomach hurt, yeah. You know?
So an hour of laughter equals how much exercise?
Now you're making me do too much. anyways, but it was a really nice experience because it took me away from that stressful moment in my life at least for an hour. But even afterwards, I felt calmer. I felt relaxed. I was able to go home and sleep well. So it was a healing. It was a healing process. I mean, yeah, of course, the next day, you know, I was still feeling lonely and sad and, you know, dealing with a lot of other stuff. But it took that stress away for even a short amount of time. So mm-hmm. it was amazing. So there's so many things that happen in our lives that you know, sure, you know, it's stressful. It's, you know, you're going through all these emotions and these feelings, but you take that moment and to just laugh is really important. You know, right after the funeral services, my girlfriends, you know, showed up to the house and my cousin from Australia was here. And we all laughed. We talked about stories, funny stories about my mom, you know, just funny stories about a lot of things. And we laughed. And again, for those few hours, even though it may not have seemed appropriate to be laughing at that time, but for those few hours, I felt healed. I felt okay. I felt calmed, mm-hmm. you know? So, and that's one of the worst things that can happen, right? We all prepare for our loved ones, or we don't always prepare for our loved ones to die. So when they do, we forget that they were individuals, and there's so many funny stories you can tell about those individuals mm-hmm. to laugh and enjoy their lives.
Well, even the concept of grieving, though, I mean, grieving, people grieve differently.
Right.
You know, and I mean, and cultures, depending on, you know, with various different cultures, you know, like we, like in America, you know, we seem to always do like the, you know, the funerals and gloom and doom and sadness and all that kind of stuff, where other cultures are like parties and
right.
celebrations.
Right.
And,
well, and then
you know,
most, they don't call them funerals anymore, right? They call them celebrations of life. Yeah. But we're not really celebrating their lives. We're mourning their loss, mm-hmm. but we're not talking about really celebrating them. Again, you know, my dear friend Rachel, I know she's going through some struggles right now. She, you know, her father-in-law passed away and, you know, she's got to deal with a lot of stuff right now. So, Rachel, if you're hearing me, take a moment by yourself and just start cracking up. Mm. Think of our funny stories of things that we've done. You know, your bachelorette party, that was kind of fun, Vegas, baby, right? Like, you know, just those kind of things. So just, I know
a long-ass time ago, wasn't it?
It was really long time ago. I think she's been married for like a billion years. Like, I think for sure. It's been about a billion, give or take. Yeah. You know, but it was quite a while ago, but we had a great time. It was the first time I went to a strip club. I was pretty shocked. Wow. First and only time, actually. It was pretty shocking. You know, I was like, this is weird, but we had a good time. whole other Oprah, right? Is what I always say. But, you know, it's just, Rachel, if you're not feeling appropriate to laugh with your family, because I know they're Hispanic, so they get a little touchy, you know, just make sure you take that moment and laugh just to try to release some of that stress. And BT Dubs, love you, babe.
Well, Hispanic is drink, right?
No, I don't think. Yeah, well, Hispanics do drink, but so does every other culture. So, you know, whatever. But, you know, they're very somber. Catholics can be very somber sometimes
right.
in when it comes to funerals. So anyway, so, you know, what are some other good things that come out of laughter? I got my notes here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it strengthens the immune system, like you talked about.
Norman
right?
Cousins.
Yeah. The endorphins that are released. My favorite, the, you know, burning calories, right?
So endorphins, right? Endorphins getting released. Okay, this is actually similar to heroin, right?
Right.
Heroin mimics your endorphins. Mm-hmm. So you're getting that, moving in that direction of
right.
even a heroin high,
mm-hmm.
naturally.
Just not as, it's not knocking you out completely either. So.
And killing you.
It's not killing you, right? In fact, it's healing you.
Absolutely.
Right? In fact, it's healing you. It improves your blood circulation. It reduces pain and aids the healing process. So talking about pain, I almost broke my finger last weekend. And
then you laughed.
And I laughed. No, I did. I called my dad. I asked him, how do you know if you broke a finger? Mm-hmm. And my dad's like, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. And I'm all, for those of you who know me, my dad, they call him Tata, you know, Hispanic name for grandfather. And I'm like, but Tata's supposed to fix everything. And he laughed. I laughed. And all of a sudden, I started feeling better. Mm-hmm. So, by the way, my finger's not broken. It's just really bruised. That's the part of doing it, DIYing, yeah. Right?
And home. It's pretty funny looking.
It is pretty funny looking. Yeah. And, you know, I look at it all the time. So, you know, just it feels good to laugh. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I didn't think about, right? When I was looking at some of these facts on laughing, it causes you to gulp a large portion of air, therefore oxygenating your blood.
We need it.
We need it. So yeah. It's actually medicine. It's medicine to laugh, mm-hmm. Right? So again, so why don't we think of some ideas? What things can people do to remind themselves to laugh?
Well, see, part of...
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. I was going to say, you know, part of the issue, and I'd love to get some phone calls from people.
That's what I was going to say. Let's call. Tell us some of your laughter stories.
Yeah, and phone number is area code 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. I should know this, but I have to read it every
week.
You don't even know
your phone number by heart, rarely. So.
But, you know, one of the things that I see... You know, again, out there's, you know, we have a lot of angry people.
We do.
You know, there's a lot of very angry people. And, you know, I look at life differently than some people. You know, I look at life like, look, you know what? We're all just trying to get through this the best we can, mm-hmm. This one life that we have. And I want to just enjoy it. You know, I look at this, you know, a lot of people that appear very angry can easily laugh at other people.
Right, but they have a hard time laughing themselves.
But they aren't able to laugh at themselves, which I sort of correlate with their sort of, they have a higher view of themselves, like they're perfect and probably lack.
So they're not able to see their own imperfections.
And their hypocrisy.
Yeah.
I guess.
So there's hypocrisy. There's absolutely.
Yeah, because we're all, you know, I mean, we were kind of talking about that, you know, I mean, how many people like go and they trip and they fall and they're like, well, you know, like, maybe you see that?
Yeah, you get worried about what people are going to think. That's another thing. Stop worrying about what other people think, right? Because if you're worried about what other people think, then you're never going to be able to do what you want to do, right? I mean, so many of us worry so much of what people are going to think. And mind you, we may sound like we've got it all together right now when it comes to not caring what people think and stuff like that. You would have asked me 20 years ago. I gave a shit. I was always constantly worried. What are people going to think? What are people going to say? So, you know, it's just stuff that we've learned through life experiences that and getting older and a little wiser. Right. Not according to our teenagers. We're not wiser. But, you know, we are a little wiser in certain things that we are okay to laugh at ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, we're okay to, if we trip or, you know, stumble and fall, we can laugh about our clumsiness.
I'll tell you one of my favorite stories, and I was talking about this, you know, with, you know, moments in your life that can happen and you instantly feel like, oh shit, you know, something bad, but then the ability for the laughter to sort of take all of that away. So I was driving in Newport Beach. I used to work. I ran Newport Coast Recovery treatment program on the peninsula in Newport Beach. And this was back in 2008, somewhere around there. And they used to have the traffic lights at you know, those cameras. Those damn cameras, mm-hmm. That take pictures.
Which I don't think they do anymore.
No, they took them all out of Newport. I mean, they still do in some places, but they took them all out of there. But so I used to go through this light every day. And of course, I always knew there's a camera. And so I was driving up one day, and I was driving, and it turns yellow, right? And I'm thinking, like,
oh, I can make it.
I think I'm going to make this thing, right? And just before I hit, I realized it, that I was going to get my picture taken, right? And I literally just broke out into I literally had the biggest, loudest laughing smile on the camera picture that came to my house.
Right.
Yeah, I was like, damn, this should be on my ID.
Right. Better than my ID.
But it was funny, though, because I that's literally the instant thing that came from it was I just started laughing. And initially you'd think, you know, you'd get pissed. This sucks, you know.
Right.
I mean,
right.
And granted, that laughter cost me $600, but, you know, it wasn't the fact that I was able to change the situation, but I was able to change my mood behind the situation.
Right, and your perspective to the situation.
Yeah.
Right.
And the fact that I was responsible. I mean, again, that's the other part to things is that...
Well, yeah, you got it on camera, and you're basically laughing at the camera.
Yeah, I mean, I hate those cameras. I hate those. I don't think they should exist. But I knew they were there. Mm-hmm. I knew the reality. I know it's against the law to run a light, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so responsibility would say, okay, yeah, I mean, that's the law. I know it. I broke it. And mm-hmm.
so deal with the shit,
right? Mm-hmm. But that's not always easy sometimes, you know, because we instantly want to just be like, you know, crazy.
And you want to get upset and you want to blame the world. And for sure. That's how we do.
Yes. Yeah, probably the guy behind me is fault, right. The person in front of me. I couldn't see. The sun was shining. I don't know, you know.
Well, and that's another way. If you're sitting down and you start thinking of like, oh, but my life has sucked. Like, oh, there's all this bad stuff that's happened to it. If you really sit back and think about some of the stuff that's happened to you, try to find the parts that actually are funny, that turned out in a funny situation, you know, that were kind of funny. So in the same token, mm-hmm. right, I was driving with a girlfriend to State Line, and I'm booking it. I'm going 106. Didn't even realize I was going 106. We're just talking, have a good time. I'm driving.
You're out in the middle of the desert.
Right. So all of a sudden I hear the siren. Cop pulls me over. I get nervous. I pull to the left, so I'm in the center of the freeway right there. Cop pulls over. He's like, "Are you trying to kill me?" And I was like, "No, why?" And he's like, "You pull to the left. That's illegal, you know." And I was like, "Oh, I didn't know." He goes, "How long have you had your license?" Well, this time I've had my license for like 15 years. Like it's, you know, I'm like, I don't get pulled over normally. So, you know, luckily he didn't give me a ticket for that, right? But long story short, I went in front of the judge and I said, well, can I go to traffic school for this ticket? And he's like, no, we don't give traffic school to people that try to break the sound barrier. Now, that's $1,000 ticket. Yeah. Right. Was it funny in that time? Actually, when he said that, it was kind of funny. But was it funny when I got the ticket? No. But when I think about it now, it's freaking hilarious. Mm-hmm. First of all, how the heck do you pull over to the left, right? And then have the nerve to ask for traffic school because you hadn't gotten a ticket before, going 106 miles an hour. You know, so it's those kind of funny things.
I think it's twice the speed limits is reckless driving.
I was close, but I wasn't there. But, you know, so if you think about situations where you were irritated, where you were pissed, just life seemed unfair, something happened, if you think about it, and now with hindsight being 2020, you can go back and be like, I can't believe I said that, I'm an idiot. Or I can't believe I did that, I'm an idiot. Mm-hmm. That's about laughing at yourself and being okay with it, mm-hmm. right? We can all laugh at ourselves. The fact that I almost broke my finger was totally my fault. You know, like, where you know, was removing tile. For those of you who remove tile before, you use a chisel and a hammer. And the hammer just hit my knuckle one too many times, mm-hmm. you know? So, I mean, it is what it is. We laugh about it. You know, that the house, when we're done doing the DIYing, is literally be full of blood, sweat, and tears. Like, that house is going to have all our blood, sweat, and tears. So, you know, just stop for a moment. Take that time and think of some situations that really can bring that laughter. So you may not be feeling like laughing right now because you've had a stressful day. You're stressed out about kids going back to school. You're stressed out about COVID. There's so many stresses going on. Mm-hmm. But if you take that moment and just, if you can't just bellow up that laughter, there's got to be a story mm-hmm. in your life that's going to cause you to laugh.
And if you can't laugh at yourself, laugh at someone else.
No. Not to their face anyway.
No, not to their face.
So here are a couple ideas that I have.
That's what I was saying. Remember outside, I was like, you know, the one, you know, everybody complains about this mask situation, right? But one perk with the mask is that you can be laughing at people and them not even knowing you're laughing at them. You can't make noise, though.
You know what's, you know what I mean? You know what's funny?
Well, they may see it in your eyes, though. But
right. You know what's funny is I'm one of those people that I walk by you, or you know, our eyes catch each other. I'll smile at you. You know, I try to be a person like, you know, welcoming, mm-hmm. smiling person. And it's so funny with the mask. I'm still that way, but nobody can see that I'm smiling at them. Yeah. You know, so it's kind of funny. It's just how, you know.
Yeah.
It is what it is, right? So a few things that I wrote down here to kind of remind yourself to take that moment. Things that won't take, like, too much thought, right? One is include laughter in your morning routine, right? So for those of you who watch the news in the morning with their cup of coffee.
It's hard to laugh at the news sometimes, but.
Right. It is hard to laugh at the news. But if you change it to something that will make you laugh, if you know something that will give you at least a few giggles in, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It starts to set the mood for your entire day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's times that the news, we watch the news and it's either pissed me off or I've gotten annoyed and I feel myself dragging throughout the rest of the day. Mm. Unless I go to the gym, because then at the gym I'm starting laughing because I'm laughing at myself for not being able to pick up that weight that I should be able to pick up by now. But, you know, that's a different story.
Here's an idea. Has anybody ever thought about this? So, and you brought it up, but when you wake up in the morning, just start laughing for like 30 seconds.
I'm still trying to figure out how to wake up.
Laughing's going to help you.
Laughing's
well, you, okay, get your coffee first. You got to get your coffee.
You know what would make
me
laugh?
Get your laughter juice in.
Yeah. You know what would make me laugh is if you're still asleep and I want to wake you up, I just slap you awake. That would make me laugh.
Yeah, probably would.
That would be pretty funny. Remember that time that we were sleeping?
And then I would have to laugh at you.
So the other idea, right? We all have these nice little mugs that we have at home. And some, you know, a few of them.
You have a cute mug. Oh, I mean, we're talking about coffee mugs. Okay.
Wow. That was just sad. So anyways, so we have these cute little mugs and the matching set and the whole nine yards. Get a set of mugs that have funny jokes to it, have funny sayings or things that make you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So that every morning when you go get your cup of coffee, you look at this joke and it makes you laugh.
Yeah.
Right? You get your cup of coffee. You do that about 4 or 5 times. Maybe how many days is it before it becomes a habit? I think it's like 10 days before it becomes a habit or something like that. Anyways, you're training your mind.
Mm.
So when you drink your cup of coffee in the morning, regardless of what mug you have,
mm-hmm.
it's funny. It's, mm-hmm. you know, you laugh. So just little things, you're starting to train your mind to start laughing or smiling more often. Mm. And smiling actually brings on more laughter as well, by the way. You know, the other idea I have.
You're just smiling. Is another thing that actually helps too.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, smiling brings on more laughter. You know? Smiling brings on more of that positive attitude. You know, those kind of things. What's the saying? That it takes more muscles to frown than it is to smile.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, think about that kind of stuff. But another thing is, you know, you have a stressful day at work. Most of the time people have a stressful day at work, then they're sitting in traffic, then when they get home, they're annoyed with their family, they don't want to be bothered, you know, whatever, and they're snapping.
Mm-hmm.
So that sets the tone for your entire day and evening, right? So how about instead of when you're sitting in traffic, which we all do, you listen to a comedy show
mm-hmm.
on the radio. You mm-hmm. listen to a podcast that cracks you up,
mm-hmm.
you know? You're listening to something, or even they have audiobooks now. So find a funny audiobook, you know, something that will get you laughing. And by the time you get home, I promise you
mm-hmm.
that by the time you get home, your mood will change.
Mm-hmm.
Your mood will be completely different. You'll appreciate your family more. You'll make jokes with them. You'll, you know, whatever. And then even having dinner with your family. If you have small kids, ask them to tell you a joke that they heard at school
mm.
or a joke that they have, mm-hmm. you know, that they have that they want to share with you.
Yeah, and first, I was saying, I don't know if you're going to want to hear the joke that they have, but.
Well, yeah. I mean, the jokes of today might be a little much. Or just have them tell you a funny story that happened at school. Mm. How many of you guys do not love to hear these little kids tell stories? Right? Some of these kids will tell one story and it will last an hour. Remember, Brian used to be like that.
Yeah.
His stories would be so prolonged, but they have some good stories to tell you. And so they laugh, and in turn, you laugh because that laughing is contagious,
mm-hmm.
right? So,
and so much of this is about, you know, us looking at and controlling our feelings and controlling our emotions and taking, you know, not allowing our anger to tear us down. You know, and figuring out ways to, I mean, I do anger management, and we, you know, with clientele all the time, and part of the idea with anger management, though, is that, yeah, you can figure out ways to sort of combat that anger. If you can flip that into something, you know, if you can take situations in your life, you make them so extreme that they all of a sudden become funny. Then you
can
laugh
at it. That's what I mean by thinking of stories, you know? From your past of, okay, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Or even if it got as bad as you thought it was going to be, there's got to be a funny moment in there.
Yeah.
Right.
And I honestly sit on the fact that if you have people in your life that you know are trying to tear you down, laugh at them.
Yeah.
I believe that, you know. I mean, because, you know, everybody's like, well, you shouldn't laugh at people. If you know those people are trying to tear you down, laugh at them.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to, you know, this. For those of you who know me, you know, I've been growing out my gray hair for the last year since COVID first hit, probably 6 months into it. And my sister sees me and I put a picture on Facebook and her first comment is, you know, hey, grandma, you know, she's got some snarky remark to say.
Right.
If she would have said that comment 20 years ago, I could have told you I would have gotten offended. I would have gotten upset. It would have ruined my whole day.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But now I just laugh at it.
Yeah.
I laugh at it because I'm like, this says more about you than it does me.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to make these kind of like hurtful comments, or you're like, are you trying to like poke the, you know, poke me to see what kind of reaction?
Right.
I didn't even comment to her.
Right.
Actually, no, I did comment to her. I said, well, by the way, I absolutely love my grays and I get nothing but compliments about it. Yeah. So,
well, at least I'm not there yet with the grays, you know.
Right. I was born with gray hair. So, you know, those are just some of the things. But we would love to hear your guys' stories. Give us a call. What's the number?
323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. Definitely love to hear some
of your stories of laughter and how we can help you take those stories and laugh at them, right?
So, yeah. And that's what you can do, too, is you can talk to people about things, turn things. I mean, that's what comedy is. You know, they say comedy is tragedy plus time.
Right.
Right. And so, I mean, and that's typically what all comedy is that, you know, it's usually bad events, horrible things that have happened in life. They've turned it into something funny.
Right.
And now we have the ability to laugh at it.
Right. And most comedians come from a background of struggle. And that's how they come up with their jokes. They're able to laugh at their own.
And usually they do laugh at themselves.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's really.
I mean, you got those that really like to attack other people, but, you know, but most of them, though, are definitely ones that, you know, do have that ability to really
laugh at
themselves.
And some of the best comedians are that way.
But now on the flip side of that, here's a good question for you. Why do so many comedians have major depression? You see this a lot.
You do see this a lot. And I think because they put on a facade in front of people.
And they're being somebody else.
But they're not dealing with their issues that are causing the depression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they feel like that hour that they're standing in front of people, they're not thinking about it. Because if you actually see it, they're not laughing on stage. So they're not healing, right? They're not having that laughter kind of thing. So then when they're not around folks, or they're not, you know, they're dealing with their own demons and they're not working through that. I think that's a different, that's a different factor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they can laugh at themselves in front of people, but they can't do it behind closed doors.
Right.
And so that's what we want to take away, the stigma of being able to laugh at yourself behind closed doors and start to heal from any of the pain that you've had in your life, that you can find the laughter in it, you know? Like I said last week, you know, I got to see the kids in Arizona, right? And the amount of laughter we had about things that I thought when they were younger, mm-hmm. were going to just completely ruin them as individuals. Mm-hmm. I was always stressed and worried about, am I raising them right? Am I doing the right thing? And, you know, all that kind of stuff, you're always so worried about whether or not you're doing a good job that you forget they're looking at you, mm-hmm. and they have now their stories. And so now it became something we can laugh about. And that's, I left from hanging out with them for just that one, you know, 2 days or whatever that I was there, feeling so just at ease. Something I wouldn't have felt when they were growing up, because mm-hmm. I was always stressed out. You know, I have another girlfriend who's probably listening now too, whose daughter's going in freshman year of high school, and she's stressed. She's worried. She's worried about her daughter, how things are going to turn out, and so I had to remind her, she's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets through high school. We've all gotten through high school, you know. Her daughter's very, she's not one of those one size fits all little, you know, girls. She has her own personality, her own style. She's a really beautiful soul. And of course her mom worries about her because, you know, she doesn't fit into that box and she's afraid that she's going to be, you know, bullied or, you know, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff because she doesn't fit in that box. And I said, but she needs to embrace that. Because so many of us work so hard to try to fit into that box. We spend our entire lives trying to fit into that box instead of embracing our individuality. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, and it's just being us. I mean, that's the key behind, you know, everything is, you know, number one, figuring out who you are as a person, being you, mm-hmm. loving you, caring about yourself, you know, and embracing that you-ness, mm-hmm. you know, because the sad part with so many people out there is they're not themselves. You know, they're who what other people want them to be. You know, I mean, we talked about this before, like, you know, thinking through the minds of other people instead of thinking through your own mind, you know, and being you.
Well,
I think that's when you're able to really sort of start to embrace yourself and love yourself and care about yourself and laugh at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I no longer care about what other people are thinking about me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Once you stop caring about what everybody else thinks, you're able to find things a little bit more calm, more funny. You know, you're able to smile a little bit more because you're not so worked up on trying to get to fit into this box that you don't. It's like putting that, you know, square peg into a round square. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? You know the word, the saying I'm trying to say.
A square into a round hole.
Yeah, something like that.
Come on, don't say anything unless you know what the fuck you're talking about,
right? Right, because you always know what you're talking about. Anyways, so yeah, I mean, there's laughter behind everything, and so you just got to take that moment and really find that laughter.
I mean, that's like I'm kind of a goofy person, you know,
yes.
a lot of times. And
it's one of the reasons why I fell in love with you.
And I like being, and it's just me. I'm just being me and who I am, you know, and I definitely don't fit in the mold of the way other people sometimes may want me to be.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not who I am,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's been one of the greatest gifts that being clean and sober has given me.
Right.
You know, is that ability for me to figure out who I am. And I love who I am today,
mm-hmm.
you know. Quirky, I'm stupid, I'm, you know, not in a, you know, dumb aspect, but I mean, I do stupid things sometimes, you know.
Right.
I make mistakes like everybody else in the world, so I don't, you know, I can't sit and judge people, you know,
right.
from the aspect of, I laugh at people.
But, you laugh with people.
But I'm laughing at myself too,
right.
you
right.
know, because so many of the things that I may laugh at other people, quote unquote, at people, I do myself.
Right.
You know, and so that just becomes funny,
mm-hmm.
you know. I mean, I'm not one of those people that somebody like trips and falls and cracks her head open. I'm sitting there busting my ass off laughing at them.
Right, right.
I mean, internally I may want to, but I'm just kidding. You got to hold back.
Depends
sometimes.
On who fell and broke and cracked their head open, right? No, but for sure, it's one of those things that I think people have, especially in today's world, people have forgotten to take those moments and just find the peace and laughter, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're always talking about take those moments and appreciate what's around you and, you know, mindful meditation. You know, actually, I was reading, too, there is a laughter meditation.
Yeah.
right? So, if, you know, and I was like, wow, this is interesting. You know, you're always thinking meditation, like, you know, like one of those things. And it just doesn't, that's, you know, I can't, you know, I've tried meditation.
Yeah, it's like a laughter yoga. I can't get out of my head. They have a laughter yoga.
Yeah, they have a laughter yoga. So there's just so many.
I don't know what that is, though. Is that like where you're just like.
It could be. It absolutely, I mean, it could be. Who knows, right? But there's so many ways to remind people to laugh, because that laughter is a healing, component mm-hmm. to a lot of problems, right? One of my favorite things though here, and I think I talked about this, is the best. Ask any woman. Most women will say the mm-hmm. best noise in the world mm-hmm. is hearing a child laugh. Mm. Like that. In the deep down in the belly, cracking up laughter from a little kid mm-hmm. is freaking, it's so contagious. Yeah. It's so lovable that's kind of like you want to hear that. They have like all kinds of YouTube videos. They have all kinds of, you know, like noise making things. I'm sure you can look up baby laughter. Put that up on your computer and start cracking up with it.
Yeah, you were saying that you could go to a park and see it. But then I was thinking, like, if you're a single guy.
Yeah, you don't want to go to the park and watch a bunch of kids.
Don't go Even if it's a good intention.
Even if it's a single woman.
You know, even if it's good intentions, but to laugh at the kids. If you're laughing at the kids.
No, you're laughing with the kids.
Laughing with the kids.
But yeah, it may look a little. You may have the cops called on you, is what we're saying. Like, so you want to be a little careful.
And then you can laugh your way to jail. But yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
So you don't want to look pedophile-y. Right. This is why you have the ability of the internet. Pull up videos. You know, just type in. Child laughing. Watch your spelling, though. And you don't want child anything next to child but laughing out loud.
Right.
Again, just a disclaimer. Be careful what you type onto your internet browser. Because
they're watching.
They are. Big brother's watching. That's
and I can laugh at that today.
That Big Brother's watching?
I don't know why they're watching me, because they're, you know, that's what I was thinking, like, you know, like even the stuff with, like, you know, they're putting a chip and freaking
the
things like this. Yeah. Like, reality says, look, you're not that important, okay? You are not that important, you know?
Right.
If you think that you're, you know, it's, and, you know, I realize that in life. I'm not that important. You know, I was in a point in time in my drug use.
Oh, yeah. You thought you right? were the. Yeah.
Well, where I did have them watching me.
Oh, yeah.
You
of
know?
Course.
I mean, it was not the FBI or anything, but it was the, you know, Orange County Sheriff's Task Force and stuff. They were watching me, but they had a legitimate reason at that particular moment in time. Today, my life, clean and sober, and what I do, I'm not that important.
Well, that takes away from the world revolving around me. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Is the world does not revolve around
me? I mean,
me?
Technically, the world does revolve around you. Because, like, from your standpoint, where
true.
You
the
are,
actual world
everything
is
around you. So technically, the world does revolve around you. But from a more realistic standpoint, it doesn't. And I, you know, that was another great awareness that I had when I finally got clean and sober, and I realized it wasn't that important.
Yeah.
Which that humility was another breaking ground. Humility also gave me a lot of power in the ability to laugh at myself.
Right.
You know, because I do, you know, and that's I think where we have to start with it sometimes is you got to get humble. Humble.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. I you know, if more people took the time to laugh and to smile and to just almost fake it till you make it. You may have had a stressful day, but you're smiling and you're laughing.
Mm-hmm.
That whole stress starts to kind of go away. It now, does. We're not saying laugh at people, you know. Mm. I mean, you can if you want behind closed doors if that's what's going to make you laugh. But, you know, don't be a jackass, you know. don't be a total jerk about it. But, you know, just take that moment for yourself. You deserve it.
Yeah.
You absolutely deserve it, and that's a really good healing process. You know, healing benefits to the laughter. What are you laughing about?
We're talking about laughter.
Is that what you're laughing because we're laughing?
I'm laughing.
Oh, got you. Okay. Well, I thought you were laughing at something I said. And I was going to feel offended.
I probably did, but
yeah, know. I was gonna get a little.
But see,
offended.
That's the beauty about it. That's the beauty of marriage. You know, we're married. I laugh at you. You laugh at me.
We laugh together.
We laugh at the kids. It's just a laugh fest.
That's what
marriage is. Marriage is a laugh fest.
Actually, and it said here on there too. One of the things that I wrote down was laugh more with your partner. And I could say that you and I have.
We laugh a lot.
A really great relationship when it comes to that. Like we do laugh a lot. We laugh at each other all the time.
100%.
You know, yeah. I'm sure deep down inside you wanted to laugh at the fact that I hammered my finger one too many times. Be honest, right? You wanted to laugh a little bit until I said, I think it's broken. Then you all of a sudden were like, oh yeah, I'm not going
to
laugh.
That's
at that.
When I wanted to laugh harder. But I'm just kidding. Right, okay. No, I don't like to laugh at your pain, like, you know, this kind of thing. But but the reality being, we are doing a lot of work in our house. And of course, I'm slamming my hand plenty of times too as we're doing work. So it's a mutual.
I'm surprised my friends haven't started putting like a pool together of which part of Morella's body is going to be
bruised up,
broken. Scratched up, whatever the case may be, because it's almost every weekend. Yeah. I'll send them a picture of something like, look what I did this weekend. Yeah. And I'm not sending the picture of the house. I'm sending a picture of
She's my demolition derby crew.
Yes.
So she tears apart everything. I put it back all together.
Yeah, pretty much. That's almost how it works. Yeah. You know, I mean,
she comes in there just with her big ass hammer and just starts busting shit up. And
hey, if you really want to relieve some stress, right?
Absolutely.
Take a sledgehammer and start breaking down to some walls. That's some stress reliever. Yeah. Yeah. I actually put Eric's picture up with a target and used the sledgehammer to, you know, we both laughed.
And she even did voodoo where I actually felt it too.
No, I don't know voodoo. That's not. I should learn though.
You have like the little doll,
yeah. Sticking the pins in there.
Damn it! What the hell? I mean, doing a podcast. Wow! What the?
Right. So laughter leads to happiness, right? Laughter leads to happiness. It leads to just an overall better day. Yep. I think.
Mm-hmm. So I want to do a workout real quick.
Are we ready to work out? It's only a minute.
We've got a few minutes left. So let's do a, what are we doing, a 15-minute workout? 10-minute, what is it?
If
it's 1 minute of laughter.
Then it's 3 minutes in laughter. If it's 15 minutes.
No, how much for 1 minute?
1 minute of laughter equals 6 to 10 minutes.
All right. Of course, cardio?
Of cardio.
Okay.
Of treadmill.
All right. Everybody out there, okay. We're going to do this huge, we're going to do a laugh fest. This is a laugh orgy, all right?
Let Eric get it started because he has like the ability to just start cracking up.
Yes. So you guys this is really, if you guys ever want to check out my podcast, Let's Get High Too, you'll see this. I get really, really crazy in that one. But what
it's
we're going to do
I
is.
The one I didn't like.
We're gonna,
just kidding.
I look crazy as hell, don't I?
Yes. I was like,
okay,
I married
here
that.
Here we go. Ready?
You're like legit changing the he's doubling the
I suppose.
He's doubling the exercise routine. Does your tummy hurt? That's where you need to feel it. That tummy ache. We're losing that weight.
yes. Good old laughter. See, you can fake it.
You can fake it till you make it,
right? And it's true, right? I mean, that's what Norman Cousins said when he did his, you know, that he forced himself to laugh so hard to where his stomach hurt, right?
And who doesn't love that feeling?
Oh, it's amazing.
I love that feeling.
It's literally a high. I mean, I swear to God, you know, this was, again, a God-given ability. Laughter, Highness.
Remember when we went to go see Jim Brewer?
Oh, my God.
Stand-up comedy.
Yes. We'll give a shout-out to Jim Brewer here.
Yeah, just shout-out to Jim Brewer. You are the best.
He is absolutely hilarious stand-up. If anybody ever wants to see a great... And he's clean, too.
He's clean. You know? Yeah, he's clean. But, yeah, he's amazing. If you ever really just want a good laugh to where you could barely walk out because your stomach is so sore, yeah, Jim Brewer is the way to go.
He had us. He literally had us.
I mean, Jim Brewer, if you're listening, we'd like some free tickets to your show. Thanks.
He did. He had me hurting.
Yeah, I remember. My stomach literally hurt for 2 days after that.
Yeah. Well, we are about out of time.
We're going to laugh our way out of here.
And we are definitely going to laugh our way out the door here. But I want to, again, thank everybody for tuning in to another episode of What Were You Thinking? LA Talk Radio.
Peace, love, and laughter, baby.
Absolutely.
You're listening to What Were You Thinking? With Eric McCoy and Morella McCoy. Only on LA Talk Radio.